with our conversation. But joining us now, we have a new friend to Hot Talk, Chris Priestley. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good, babe.
Educator and comedian.
Yes.
And you know, I wanted you to come in and talk to Congresswoman Wilson. You were like, no. But she's an educator first.
I agree, but you know, you're talking politics. I don't want to laugh.
Come on now. We are really laughing about politics right now.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
It's comical. At this point. You know what? Wait, I'm going to take one sidebar on that, because what do you all think? I'm going to ask everybody. Jennifer, and say hello to Jennifer Smith, our resident sex therapist, is back in the building. Hey, we're sharing a mic tonight.
Hey, everyone.
So, where's your mom?
She's at home asleep.
Oh.
She couldn't stay up.
Well, you all went to the game today.
We went to the Steelers game
today. I saw you. Who won?
The Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Let's move on.
Just say, moving on from there. One of the things that I did want to ask everybody, because, you know, this, I don't remember a time. Politics is a dirty game, but I don't remember a time when it's been this just gut bucket, nasty, dirty, in the gutter. And what do you think about the tone of where we are? I mean, you know, particularly with Donald Trump and all of that. What are your thoughts?
You want it from the ministers? Because I just had a conversation. It's a scary thing. From the minister's standpoint, we're, like I told you, the church is a very imbalanced space. And last night we were watching a clip from Joy Reid, and there's a petition right now, thankfully, that the evangelical right wing has now come to the reality that they have to now formally denounce this man's rhetoric. But the scary part about it is there is still a small, large white majority that is still standing by this dude. And it was in the argument, John Wallace was saying, he wrote the book The Original Sin, he was like, look, you don't get it. Like, this, a lot is on stake with you brandishing this man and saying, go ahead and continue rhetoric. We have Christians all across the country, black, white, and different, are saying, yo, if the morality level is not dealt with, then what is it that you're going to be able to hold us accountable to? We're leaving.
Right.
So now there's another mass exodus. And I think this, you know, we've said it in the scope of history. White America has a cold. Black America catches the flu. So in the church space, it's the same way. We're now fighting, you know, and we were talking about in the room, trying to defuse this argument about why Jesus is necessary, why this is an important component to your life, why this gospel is truthful, and they're not helping that narrative.
Right.
So
I told my congregation to vote for who you think Jesus will vote for.
Because
in reality, as a pastor, it's against the law for me to tell my people from the pulpit who to vote for.
Right.
We can have that conversation after church, and we could talk all day long. But if Jesus wouldn't vote for one or the other, then I would suggest that you not do that either.
Yeah. What about Brandon and Carlin? What about you guys?
I think I agree a lot with what Pastor Troy says. I mean, you got to kind of just look at Christ and try to figure out, well, who would Christ vote for in a situation like this? And the one thing I can say about this race is that it's bringing out the true colors of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I do appreciate it for that point, that we're able to see where people really feel in their heart towards each other and things like that. So.
Yeah. Carlin, I'm sure that you all talk about it a lot in the barbershop.
Man, y'all finna get this thing. I mean, it's such a, of course it's a hot topic in the barbershop. I mean, politics, everything, you know, the barbershop, it's where everything comes through the barbershop. Mm-hmm. But it right now, it's just this whole election thing. I mean, I'm looking at everything, and it's like, when you look at what's going on, it's almost like you're looking at, is this really real?
It's TV. Mm-hmm.
Is it right? You're asking yourself, is this real? I mean, I've never seen it quite like this.
Scandal, but it's scandal.
And you know, and we're looking at everything, and we're looking at how things are, but we also have to pay attention to just what's going on in America right now, period. This election is one thing, we're looking at this, but if you look at the other signs, I mean, there's so many different, even in Georgia alone, there's so many. There's something, and like I said, I ain't trying to scare nobody, but I'm just trying to enlighten you. Mm-hmm. There's so many coffins being brought in America right now. So many coffins that you can place probably five bodies at a time, and they're dumping, it's thousands. They got in Georgia and Lithonia and different places that they're bringing in. These things are happening, and people need to be wise and see what's happening in the world today, in America.
Yeah.
And this election, I know we're talking about the election, but this is, with me, when I look at this election, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, this is, something is going on And we need to pay attention.
Bigger than all of us.
That's beyond just this election.
Yeah, there's a definite shift, and I think that a lot of people feel it in terms of it's different. And I've even had people who say that they think that, you know, this might be the beginning of what becomes World War III, mm-hmm. because neither side is backing down. We are both in a place where, you know, we're just not taking anymore. Those who feel, you know, like Donald Trump is speaking for them, want a way of life back that's never coming back. Mm-hmm. And those of us on the other side of that have absolutely no tolerance whatsoever for whatever their wants, needs, desires are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've offered several people a mic here, from the Republican Party who are standing behind Donald Trump, and no one will step up to the plate. But, understand and hear me clearly, and the panel, that we are, and with young people particularly, mm-hmm. Are in no mood to acquiesce to anything that Donald Trump and his minions are putting forward. Right. So November 9th is going to be, you know.
Well, 28th. November 28th.
November 28th on Donald Trump's floor.
Just want you to know that. November 28th. That's your day. All Donald Trump followers.
That's what he said.
You know,
he
remember that.
From his mouth.
From his
right,
mouth.
28th. Right. Go 28th. On November 28th. That's, you know. But we'll, you know, we will get back into that. So onward with our topic at hand. So, gentlemen, So Jen is here, and Jen and I, of course, were talking Ted, that many of you may have heard reference to, but you haven't seen him. That's because he is the man who makes all of this visual for you. And he's behind the camera, but Ted and I were having a conversation, and he really put this panel together, so I want to thank him. For making it happen. And we were having those, you know, conversations about youthism. We talk about youth. We talk at youth, but we don't talk to them. And, you know, and thinking about our own youth, Jen and I were talking about the fact that in those years, there are, those are your most highly charged sexual years. And we were like, you know, I wonder how does that apply now? Because back in the day when you went to church, they just said, don't do it.
Right.
You know, don't do it, you know, because you'll be a harlot. Don't do it to yourself because you'll go blind.
Don't think about it.
Right?
The Opal Ring Challenge.
Exactly. And so, you know, interested in how you all address, with your congregation. Jen.
Go ahead, Jen. Go do it.
I'm definitely curious to know because those are such formative years, and I know that youth that I have counseled before often comes up of masturbation. And so how would you address that with the youth, I mean, especially boys, because they're more curious about their genitals than females at that earlier than females are. So how would you address that if in the Christian values... can you apply? Yeah, if you're allowed to masturbate.
Everybody, be quiet now.
You're not gonna go blind,
right?
Now I'm throwing it to somebody else. Yeah. Oh my god!
Right, he's looking over to Carlin.
You got it. Well, the thing is, you know, first of all, you're a young adult gonna be a young adult,
right?
And I mean, whether you raise, however you raise, whatever, you're a human being, mm-hmm. and you know, the thing is that there's certain things that every young person is going to have to experience. Mm-hmm. Now, whether I say it's right or whether you say it's right, whether we say it's right, whether we say it's wrong, mm-hmm. it don't matter. It's real. It's happening. Mm-hmm. And you
right.
have to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you don't talk about it, you don't have nothing. You don't have no starting ground.
Right.
And right now, regardless to a proper answer, more than anything, we're having a discussion. And that's where everything has to start.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we can't be afraid to talk about it because, hey, if we don't talk about it, who's going to talk about it?
Right. Brandon,
when I think about this issue, I really think that education is very important.
Absolutely.
You know, when youth are struggling with these issues, it's important to let them know and to teach them to understand what sex is about, how is it properly used, and things like that. And I think that's the most important thing, that you train them and you educate them properly. And, you know, from there on, you know, you pray for them.
Right, right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And I think that's so important. I think that the education portion of sex education is where it all starts. And ultimately, if the conversations are not happening at home with the parents, then it needs to happen somewhere else. And schools, the budget is cut. There's not even health anymore. They very rarely give sex education. And so my question to you, gentlemen, is what do you think about doing sex education in the church?
That was exactly what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Actually, me and my lady talked about it today, which is I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. You know, because the reality of it is that we're fighting against an enemy that operates in a very wicked manner, right? So anything that we don't speak on, we've already given him license to speak on.
Absolutely.
So we don't have the reality. The church used to be the place where, and we said the barbershop, right? So at the barbershop, if I can go to the barbershop and get all the information I need at the barbershop, then the question is to a black man that leaves there, why do I need to go to church?
Yeah.
Why do I need to go to church?
Right.
If I'm getting my soul fed there, I'm getting the real conversations I need, if I'm getting it, and a haircut, you know what I'm saying? And then if you in Miami, you know, we got strip clubs with barbershops in them. So I'm getting two, dead serious.
KLD
got two in one in there, you know? And I'm saying, so...
How you know that?
Hey, look, hold on.
Oh, listen.
You know, look, man, you got to keep that ear to the street. I got homies, you know what I'm saying, that be by their life. You got to know what they do and how to direct that. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, but our homeboy from Detroit was like, did nobody tell me that?
It's all in one. But the scary part about it is this, is that there was a poll that was done on Christian Mingle, right? And on Christian Mingle, they polled about 741 people, and it said that 65% of them do not believe in waiting for marriage, and casual sex is an accepted practice in their household.
Interesting.
So now
those are Christian things.
That is Christian Mingle directly. So now you're talking about, if that's a sample set of what is the majority of the body of Christ, what are we not doing right correctly in terms of giving the full bread of the message?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's something like we were just talking about outside. I'm a social justice minister about first, you know, deliverance, whatever. But after that, there has to be a dialogue on some level to what these folks talk about.
Yeah.
And how do you operate 9 to 5?
Well, Chris, you're in the school system. So how do you handle
where,
it?
Now, this is where the ministers just said something. 30 years ago, you got your values from one of three places.
Uh-huh.
Your church, your home, or your school.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Fast forward to now, you get it from your peers,
right,
the TV,
Instagram,
on social media.
Right.
Okay, that's a fact.
Yeah.
So these gentlemen might have had their birds and their bee conversation from their dad or from an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
A young boy now might get it from Rich Homie Quan or his buddy at the cafeteria table.
Right.
We'll talk about sex. So kids are learning from different sources now as opposed to when we were coming up.
Right.
So that's the number one issue in the church. I was raised in the church too, but the church never addressed these issues.
Right.
And that's why a lot of the church girls end up being freaky
pregnant.
Yeah, pregnant. I mean, the pastor's daughter either a freak or a minister.
No,
she won't be a minister.
No,
I love y'all. But she's going to be the minister.
But wait.
She's going to be the extreme. She's gonna
right, but, you know, when we joke, but it's true. There's a true stereotype about, you know, preachers' kids are just, you know.
The control.
Are you a preacher's child?
Okay. The control and the confinements.
Ah.
You got to understand. It's like, I'm reading this book right now, which I would recommend.
We got
anybody.
A PK in the building too.
Oh, and dear Pastor Kid? Okay.
She is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know this is true. You know about them Pastor Kid conferences and the link ups and the conversation. It's just like there's a culture to every exactly. There's a culture to everything. And the thing is, the pastors are put in a position where they have to be the example. Moral, community, everything. So they're putting an extreme pressings on their kids to also be that. And then they get to college, and I'm at fam, and I'm looking at kids whose parents was pastors, and they wiling out.
Yeah. And yeah. The pastor can't even be in the space that they trying to keep the kid in, for real.
Yeah.
If we're going to keep it real.
That's right. 100. That's 100.
And so you everybody's in a bad situation, and I don't know if anybody ever had a dog, but you keep a dog in a cage and let the dog out.
The dog
don't know how to act. Yeah. Don't know how to act when the dog get out. So, I mean...
Yeah, listen, I don't take my dogs out for the day. Little banshees running down the street. Gerald in downtown Miami. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. One.
Good evening. Well, good morning to your panel also. Hey, quick question. This is a two-part question now. One, two, because all of us was raised up in the church, but what I would like to ask the pastors is that the movie Birth of a Nation, 1830, Nat Turner could not read. The slave masters made him learn how to read. Then, once he figured out what God was saying, he knew that those who was trying to teach him how to read was not on God's side. So then the revolt happened. But now check this out. When we talk about the youth and the disconnect, a lot of the youngsters, and I have children, they know game when they hear it. I mean, you can't tell me that you're going to get some up in the sky and they have the riches right now while they live. And Matt Turner figured that out. What do you all think about that? And the last thing about the politics, this is the second part question. Minister Farrakhan said today on the 21st anniversary of the Millionaire March, he said the Chinese got restaurants, businesses in Chinatown, in every major city in America. They don't have no politicians. They just going to work. He said, what's going on with us? And why we don't seem to understand America as a capitalistic society. Now, those two questions, two things I just wanted to bring up, especially the birth of a nation and why was Nat Turner, he wasn't taught in American history to black folk. But and they tried to train him. And they always do that. So the youngsters understand game. So we got to be real. You're absolutely right. You do. That Me Too you were talking about, brother, it has to be. You have to put yourself as the example. And that's what I wanted to say. And Jill Tracy, you know I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Always thought-provoking the show.
Thank you very much. I so appreciate it. And, yeah, that was two really, really great questions on the point. Anybody want to start?
I'll take the Nat Turner part because, you know, that's me and Ted are big on the filmmaking thing. So that's our area. And what people don't understand is, like, you know, if you watch, for those, first off, everybody needs to go watch the movie.
Yeah.
That has to be the first conversation. Everybody has to watch the movie.
Right.
Second to that is that one of the points in the movie that he made, he said, look, for every verse that they use to justify our enslavement, there was another verse in the Bible that was used to justify our liberation.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I caught in there. And in the core of it is that the Bible is, and for every minister here, we know that when we read it, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have a chance to grab onto this Bible, and it is him on paper through every phrase, every statement, every verse. But if you don't spend time in reading it, if you don't spend time in identifying it, you got two presbyters of kind of two areas of a ministry that are jumping up, the Hebrew Israelite brethren, you know what I'm saying, who have grabbed onto it, and they have what is, I like to say, a form of truth to the gospel, finding their own identity in it a little bit more than most would like. And you have the other side of the narrative, which is us who have kind of been practicing and acting in a position of a substantive church. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of it, when we look at the narrative of slavery, this word was all we had.
Right.
This is it. You know what I'm saying? The reason most of us are all here is because our grandmothers.
Yeah. Right.
Praying grandma was it. You know what I'm saying? And if you had a granddaddy that was an elder or whatever, that was the other extreme to the narrative. So if you don't begin to infuse them with this, I'm a person who believes alchemically, when you do pray, your whole anatomy and persona changes. It's been proven that you can pray over water and the water will change itself. So if your body is 60-75% of water,
it's supposed to be anyway.
Supposed to be at least anyway, and you're praying out these words of God, which are life, and you're not coming to that change, then there's something you're not doing correctly.
I think that, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. You all didn't see the movie yet?
No, I didn't see it yet.
Oh, okay.
I saw it. So I would say that...
Well, you'll come back when you see it.
That in our narrative now, there are two types of pastors.
Uh-huh.
There's the Nat, mm-hmm. prior to realizing that there were other verses that spoke to liberation,
mm-hmm.
who can be controlled and used in a negative light. And then there's a gnat afterwards that woke up and said, God wanted us free. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to be careful because a lot of us get accused of being the gnat before he woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just right. by virtue of, because I got a collar on, you part of that crew that crew that been trying to hold me down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of us that get pushed into that. And so we talked about being apologetics before, having to apologize for everything before we started.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also saw in that movie Nat go through his own realization. Like, he had to get knocked upside the head to get woke up to see that God wanted me free.
Right.
Exactly. And so we have to, unfortunately, the church has dulled us to sleep. In the way that we deal and operate with the world, and a lot of people think Christians are being a Christian means you meek, soft, and weak.
Mm-hmm.
When if you don't read the Bible, you wouldn't see that Jesus was raised in hell in the temple when they was doing the wrong things in the temple, and the only thing they left out was the cuss words.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there's I think there's a group of Nat post getting nearly beat to death and realizing that God wanted us to be free than there are the gnat who is not about God's business.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what we're talking about, you know, in the break. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where, you know, we are. Mm-hmm. We are the children of the post-gnat.
They call us the Joshua generation. We're right. supposed to be the Joshua generation. That's the thing. And I'm putting the quotations
supposed to be. Well, we'll talk about whether we are or not. And if that includes sex before marriage. Coming up on the other side, I am Jill Tracy. This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Hot Talk will be right back on Hot 105.
Vote because it's your right.
Vote because it's your community.
Vote because you have everything to gain and much to lose.
Vote because voting gives you the power to make change.
Election Day is Tuesday, November 8th.
Remember, if you don't vote, don't complain. Your vote is your voice on Election Day. Don't be silent.
Your vote matters.
If you're not registered, go to hot105fm.com to register to vote and use your voice.
A message brought to you by your family.
Hot 105.
Today's R&B in old school.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
For the last 20 years, I've been a smoker. And no, I'm definitely not proud of that fact. I'm not proud of having to hide it from my kids. I'm not proud of having to stay 15 feet away from the building entrance.
No smoking area.
And I'm not proud of standing outside alone, away from my friends. All of these situations make it harder and harder to smoke, but they don't make it any easier to quit.
Quit your way with Tobacco-Free Florida. We provide you positive support and free tools to help you quit for good, like our free services, Phone Quit, Group Quit, and Web Quit. We also offer additional tools, such as text messages with practical advice, email support, and starter kits of nicotine patches, gum, or lozenges. Visit TobaccoFreeFlorida.com or call 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW. Quit your way with Tobacco Free Florida.
My name is Cora Days, and I'm with the City of Hallandale Beach Human Services Department. Our annual Breast Cancer Stiletto Walk, sponsored by Fire and Desire, on Saturday, October 22nd at 8 a.m. This event is free to the community at the Austin Hepburn Center, 1000 Northwest 8th Avenue in Hallandale Beach, Florida.
Tom Jordan in the morning. The Tom Jordan Morning Show. And everybody knows the song. 105.1.
Dak Prescott, the black quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the front cover, it says, of Sports Illustrated.
Oh, boy.
All right. So,
that's just jinx on top of jinx.
What
jinx on top of jinx. And jinx him two times.
All right.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
Hot 105.
What is a girl to do? I try so very hard to try and please you, even though I know you really don't care. Or is it that you find your feelings too hard to share? Friends say I'm crazy for the way that I feel. You don't love me now, or you probably never will. But my love is far stronger than crime. Even though I know there'll always be another body inside.
At 888-550-9105.
Yes, indeed. We are back on Hot Talk. Hot Talk after midnight, 888-550-9105. If you want to get in where you fit in, Samantha on line 4. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
I was just calling in to say that I'm very proud to hear my brothers on here. Speaking the word of God, I love it. I'm actually from Lithonia, Georgia. I moved here. It'll be a year next month. So I wanted to know, like, where the guys worship. Where are they in South Miami?
Oh, okay. You're in South Miami?
Oh.
Yes, I am now. I live here now.
So who would be Brandon? You might be the closest to her.
Yeah, I'm in Deerfield Beach. Fountain of Life Empowered Ministries. We started about a year ago. We're right off of Dixie Highway, 5323 North Dixie Highway. And like I said, it's Deerfield Beach, Florida.
And then, you're even farther
I'm
up, Pastor Troy.
Galaxy far, far away. If
she's looking for a couple of places to worship, that I can name some spaces locally. I mean, my home pastor is Pastor Joseph Turner at Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist in West Perrine. South Miami, I would also recommend Mount Olive.
It's a great
space, great man of God there. In Coconut Grove, there's an apostolic prophetic ministry, Believers Authority, under Pastor John Chambers. I've actually had a chance to check out. And if you needed some more, you know, because I venture, you can hit me up.
I have a place to worship. I go to Daniel Santiago Church, Zion. It's a prophetic church as well.
I've heard of that.
ZionConnect.org. Yeah. So, but I just wanted to know, I thought you all was here, and I wanted to, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're here, but they're just kind of, you know, farther up. If you want to travel, you know, it's definitely worth the trip.
Yeah, so Pastor
and you
Charles,
can also, you yeah, she can catch you on the air.
Yeah, you can catch me on the air, but I'll be preaching at St. Paul in Liberty City on Sunday.
You will be...
So I'll be local this coming Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sunday the 23rd.
At St. Paul AME, African Methodist Episcopal Church in Liberty City, where Reverend Robert Jackson is the pastor. It's also a good place to worship and fellowship if you're looking for a church. One of those places I would go if I wasn't a pastor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you all. You all have a good night.
You too. And welcome to Miami.
Thank you.
All right. So we were during the break. Those of you who watch Facebook Live know you get everything in the middle during the break. But we kind of touched on the idea of relationships and single people and young people. What do you think though? Because a lot of times what we're talking about is sex, and we're not talking about them building strong relationships. Now, have any of you all been married?
No.
You were married, Carlin.
I haven't been married.
And nobody else has been married.
So let me get this right.
So, Chris. Right.
The teacher, comedian, not the preacher. I'm the married one here.
Well, you are the only married man in the room.
Yes, sir.
We're working on it.
We're working on it.
So, but you have kids.
I do have a daughter.
And Brandon has kids.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Well, you had children out of wedlock.
Yes.
And so how did it happen? We aren't happy, but...
How was that received?
How was that received by your... I'm sorry, Jen?
Right. How was that received by your congregation?
No, so my situation is a little bit different. My daughter lives in Texas, so... unless we have an active conversation and they maybe hear my bio somewhere or I'm talking about my daughter, then they may not necessarily, it may not come up all the time. But it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of, I love my daughter with all my heart. She was, and still is, I believe, a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And, the church may not have approved of how I got that gift from God, when I got the gift from God, but God is a giver, right? And so I think those conversations, you need to have them.
Right.
And I think they're what I'm hearing, part of the question that wasn't spoken out loud, speaks to abstinence as well. And what are we teaching and what kind of conversation we're having?
Yeah.
I do think that there are benefits not to engage in sexual activity. You can't think straight, especially as a man, right? Yeah, you can't think straight. Right. There, you can talk about soul ties and how you get connected to people in different kinds of ways,
mm-hmm.
and how it's so hard to break from people. And you get a piece of a person when you share in that intimate contact, right?
Right.
And so we have to have an open space for those conversations. I would say people are surprised, but in this day and age, I think more folks are surprised that I only have one. As opposed to as opposed to having a bunch,
because that's the norm.
Right.
We have now grown accepting of people having multiple kids with multiple partners.
Right, and then not being married at the same time. Then they, you might tiptoe through the tulips, and that's basically code for I might be sleeping with a bunch of people and a bunch of women in the church. But that's not the case either.
Well, okay, so wait. Brandon, mm-hmm. I'm going to let you chime in on that, and then we'll talk about sleeping with the women in the church.
All right. In my situation, I was married, and we divorced, but I had my daughter when I was married.
Oh, okay.
And, I went through a divorce and things like that.
Yeah.
But as speaking to abstinence and sex before marriage, I think when you're in a dating process and you have sex before you get married, it ruins the whole dating process. And now you're focused more on getting your needs met rather than learning and growing with the person and getting the opportunity to really learn the person that you're dating. And I think that's very important when you're in a relationship, is to learn how this person act when she get mad, or what pleases her, outside of sex, what else pleases her,
And
it's important that we learn those different things about each other for growth in our relationship. And when you have sex before marriage and you do that, it ruins that whole process.
Carly, do you want to make a comment?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're always coming on this. I mean, with myself,
my daughter as well. I have a daughter, but of course I was married. I started preaching when I was 17.
Right.
And I'm not preaching in no one's church right now.
Right.
But I'm a real person, and I love God. I'm a man of God still.
Mm-hmm.
And man, we can get on these different issues about and we say about like he was saying about, and brother, I just want to tell you, he was saying about his daughter.
Pastor Troy.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, even with that, man, listen. Whatever happened with that, brother, you are beyond that now.
Yeah.
People want to hold that on you and say this and say that, but as you go forward, man, you just keep on going forward, man. She's a true blessing.
I'm still moving forward.
That's right, brother.
Okay.
Because I know you are, brother, but I was just saying, man, that door you got is a true blessing, man.
Well, you know, I mean, I do want to ask you all about that. You know, when it comes to, you know, being men of the cloth, all of you are very attractive men.
Woo!
And
thank
you're
thank
all.
You,
I appreciate that.
Well, it's true.
I really appreciate
it. It's true. And you all are single for the most part. So I'm sure. Jesus, she was. She was like, no, I'm quiet, but I'm here. No, okay, so Pastor Troy, Brandon, and Carlin are single.
I'm courting right now.
You're courting, okay.
Oh, I love
the word courting. I know.
And actually, I think that we should define courting. What that means. I would love to hear you describe what courting is, because I'm sure of this generation, many women and men don't know what courting is. Could you define what that means?
Okay, courting to me is dating with a purpose, with intention to get married.
I like that.
And that's what courting is for me.
That's a very important point. And when what you said earlier about, you know, when you are just, when you have sex too early in a relationship, you don't get to know the person.
Absolutely.
And you really, after a certain point, you don't want to get to know the person.
Right.
Because
right.
I really, I really believe that. That whole adage about why is he going to buy the cow if he can get the milk free.
Right.
Just in that idea that if you lay yourself down for a man like that, you know, I am not.
I say, Troy, tell me on treat milk. I'm on almond milk over here. I don't know what you on.
But what I'm saying is, I think that somebody, women, and Jennifer, you know, you let me know your thoughts. I think as women, most times that we don't really assert our power in the relationship.
I do.
Well, you do. But I think a lot of women don't assert their power in the relationship. And, are, you know, when they find a man that they want to be with, they're not willing to wait. Or to, because they know he's going to go someplace else.
Right. They're too afraid of actually having standards.
Right.
They let the man take the lead. And as much as they might want to wait, they're like, well, I've been in this situation before. I waited. Then he cheated. But I think that you have to just believe in what you have to really own your own beliefs and values. If you're willing to wait, wait. If that person that you're with is not, then that's not the person for
that's
you.
That's not your person.
Right. You have to at some point just know that, like, that wasn't your fate. That just wasn't chosen for you, and you got to let it go on.
Right.
I'm not going to try to hold on to something that's not meant for me in the first place.
Right.
You just got to let that go. And I always tell people, listen to your gut instinct. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't force yourself to do something with somebody just because you think that they might not stay
because
with you.
Because if you do that, then he really is not going to stay with you.
Right.
Because it's like, well, if I got it that easy, then somebody else is getting it that
really,
easy.
If that person really respects you, then they will wait.
Yeah. Like Brandon. And he'll court you.
Right. Oh, man. He's going to get a whole bunch of DMs.
He doesn't even have one.
See, Brandon doesn't even have a DM.
What?
No, he doesn't. He's serious with it.
He's about to get it in the DM tonight.
But so how do you... Okay, so Pastor Troy, you know, how do you deal with women and... And Denzel, I ask you too. How do you deal with women who come after you?
Well, since mine is here, I'll just go ahead and be honest.
Yes.
I purposely kept our relationship offline for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely kept it offline for 6 months, and there was a reason behind that strategically, because I wanted to first make sure before I brought her into my social media space, before I brought her into all of what I was dealing with, she knew how to deal with me. Mm-hmm. And I knew how to deal with her. So right. our courtship went down. So we was doing what we call like Anthony Bourdaining. We would go to different restaurants. And there was just different little things that we were doing. The yeah. day we put a picture up of me and her going to a high ritzy wedding, it was me tuxedoed out, clean cut. She was like, oh my God, all these people are liking the photos in the DM. Why you ain't tell me? Right. Who is this? And it was like, wait a minute. I've been here.
Right.
I have been here doing the same Denzel for the past few years. But the problem is, and this is Jake said this one time, you know, people go after folks when they can see themselves in a car in which they might have wanted to have, but they didn't want to buy.
Right.
So until you can have that live-in model, you don't want nothing to do with it. But then on the reality of it is, and this goes to the male perspective, can you deal with my night tremors? Can you deal with my demons? Can you deal with the stresses of what I got to deal with? Mm-hmm. She has been in a relationship with me for 6 months. Well, our first conversation wasn't about trying to get our rocks off. I had to say, look, this is what I'm doing. Can you be about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not the dialogue. And then that hoping in that courtship right. is a hard, brutal, honest conversation right. because yeah. people yeah. like to marry or deal with us because they like the collar.
Right.
They like the image. Pastor right. Troy, no, they like right. the image. They
right.
like
that's
the,
what
perspective.
I'm saying.
The perspective. Yeah. They like the first lady title.
No,
they like
you.
All of that crap. Mm-hmm. But yo, we are still men who have that's, real problems.
That's what, yeah. makes it, that's what makes it difficult. So I was in a relationship for a really long time and we just recently broke up, right? But
mm-hmm.
the thing that is scary for me about this space that I found myself in at this point, I think as God rebuilds me in different kinds of ways, is that I don't really know if you like me or if you like me.
That's real.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Troy or do you like Pastor Troy?
Right.
Will you deal with some of the stuff Troy has going on, or is it all about what you where you see yourself or where you think you may see yourself or you think we are going? Mm-hmm. But you don't know what I have to deal with on a daily basis.
And, listen.
And the more I tell you about it, the more you get scared about it, but you're not brave enough to say that I can't deal with this. And then, you know, it's hard as a pastor. It's still hard because, I desperately don't want to come off as a hoe, right?
Right. But if you date
I have to meet people, right?
Right?
And so everybody has this whole thing. Oh, he gone, and then he's going with this person, and he went out with this person, and he went out with that person.
Right.
Well, there's a double standard at the same time, and so that kind of you know makes the whole process difficult.
That brings up a really good point. So do you, and anybody can answer this. Do you refrain from dating people in which are at the church?
Oh, you listen. That don't happen. If you go to my church, if you in close proximity to my church, no, ma'am, at all. It's not happening because the problem is when you get involved in places in when you get involved with people in a space that's supposed to be intimate for mm-hmm. you and God, and you bring in the other stuff. There's potential risk for your intimate space with God to be compromised, and then I can't worship God because you're mad at me,
right?
And I can't serve people like I need to serve because you're mad at me because we fought last night or because you picked an argument with me on the way to church before I got to preach,
yeah.
And then now I got to go in here and try to get in my head right, and I'm distracted, and then it'll all fall. Kanye said it best: when it all falls down, it'll all fall down around, and then everybody's all in your business anyway. So if you think
I think
cute,
you just told the story of my life. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to say a couple of things. I appreciate the honesty. I've never heard it dishonest before. But one thing, there's a scripture about Jesus. Hello? Yeah, that Jesus was supposed to spend 3 days and three nights in the ground. He says, I will only give one sign to show that I am the Messiah. That's a sign of Jonah. 3 days and two nights in the ground as Jonah was in the belly of the sea monster. And also in the Old Testament, it says that the Messiah will be cut off in the midst of the week in, I believe, two separate scripture. So why does the church still celebrate Good Friday at the day that Jesus died?
Gentlemen?
Why do we what seminary?
He was saying why do you still celebrate Good Friday? That's the day that Jesus died.
I celebrate every day.
Yeah, what up? He want to know why the institution of church, the religious faction of us, still do that. I mean, you know, it's out of a tradition.
Right. I think there's days that we hold on to as tradition. And just like when it comes to, say, baptism is an outward expression of an inward change.
Yeah.
And so I think there's things that we do as Christians that, you know,
that keep us to the
hold to our identity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Good Friday is one of those.
Okay, I appreciate that, but that's part of the problem. I think people need to get back to the truth.
We still have Christmas every.
Not interested in the truth, but in tradition. One more thing, the debate was interesting. There was one question that was asked by Hillary, was asked to Hillary Clinton about marijuana, and she was saying that there needs to be more research done on marijuana. And I thought that was sort of a disingenuous answer, because there's all these medications that are being advertised on TV that could kill you potentially. There's all these you know, caveats about don't take this medicine for this, for that, for this thing. Yet marijuana has been for years, and people die from marijuana. But yet she sees something about we need to do more research on it. I think that's very disingenuous.
I don't have any research on anybody dying from marijuana, but
exactly. So I think that was a disingenuous question. I think I'm gonna vote for Hillary definitely, but I think she needs to be more honest and just go for the thing that people care about. Number one is waive all student loans. I think if she does that, a bunch of people will vote for her, and then legalize marijuana. I think those two things.
Yeah, she'd be in the House. Thank you so much for your call. Yeah. Well, no, you're certainly right about that one, because if she legalizes marijuana and gets rid of student loans, I think everybody will go to the polls.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is a level of apathy among young people. I spoke at Florida Memorial University, moderated the panel, and half the kids were asleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and these are the talented 10th. And they don't care.
See, so, that gets thrown around real loosely.
What?
That talented
stuff. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? These are the kids that we are supposed to be paying attention.
Yeah.
I mean, we think they're paying attention, but they were in their sleep. Yeah. And I'm like, well, why'd you come? And they're like, well, because it was a class credit.
Class credit. They gained credit for class.
You know, and that's basically, they just don't, you know.
I know you talked to Dr. Artis about that.
Yeah, I definitely. I haven't had a chance to. Right, exactly. They had no idea. But amazingly, we are at the end of our show. So, parting shots, Chris.
You know, magic tonight.
Yeah.
Chris is like,
yeah,
look.
I learned about the clergy and marijuana
Good Friday and Congressman Wilson.
Yeah, you covered the whole gambit.
You know.
Yes, you did.
We're here to serve.
And we love it.
Okay, Pastor Troy.
I don't really know how to follow that. I think as it relates to being black and in the pulpit and young, I think it takes people like me to bring people like me to Christ. I think we're all the same. That we talked about earlier, that you have to be genuine and true to who you are. Somebody need to hear your me too. Don't tell all your business.
Right.
There's a line, but you you got to share some of it.
Carlin and Brandon, you know, were saying that, and you know, I really thought about that you do. There's a certain, No. You said if you don't show them your brokenness,
they won't.
You can't speak to it.
Speak
to it. And they won't listen to you. I just thought that's really profound, mm-hmm. because it's hard to do that in every instance. We got one more call. Line one. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. You're out tonight.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Hot Talk.
Yes, I want to make a statement here.
Dollar Bill. We knew he was not going to lead his show without you, Dollar Bill. Dollar Bill, you just cannot talk about hair. We don't hear nothing about no nappy hair.
No, I'm not talking about it. I'm on some other stuff right
okay,
now.
Okay, good.
I want to say this about him. I'm down with Donald Trump.
Oh, goodbye.
I got
okay, but wait.
Why?
Dollar Bill. Your name is Dollar Bill, so that might
He's
have something
with
to
Donald
do with
Trump.
It.
I got it.
Why are you down with Donald Trump?
Let me tell you why I'm backing Donald Trump up.
Okay.
All right.
Donald Trump is going to go up there and embarrass the white race.
He said Donald Trump is going to embarrass the white race.
They do for a good embarrassment, and Donald Trump is going to do it. That's why I'm putting it for him. Hillary Clinton is crooked. Hillary Clinton is a Washington insider, okay? The Clinton Foundation stole so much money around the world till it's pathetic, okay?
Okay, you cannot believe everything you hear on Fox News, okay? You just can't.
Well, he kind of got a point on that one. But that's a,
listen,
that's a whole other conversation.
It is a whole other, okay, thank you, Dollar Bill. There, there is a whole other conversation, and but I think that this is not the time to be making a point with your vote.
Right.
Honestly, you just got... All I can say is that, just like you said, who would Jesus vote for?
Who would Jesus vote
for?
Just
honestly,
I'm taking that one.
Who would Jesus vote for?
Yes.
And you do the same.
Pastor Trey on that. I like that.
Gentlemen, Chris Priester, comedian, educator, and regular here on Hot Talk, thank you so much for coming. Pastor Troy, always a pleasure. Denzel Burnside, a pleasure as always. Brandon Spann and Carlin Wilkes. Is it Wilkes? Did I get that right?
You got it right.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Awesome.
I hope your first time was a good time.
Yes. Thank you.
And you will come back and join us on Hot Talk.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. And Jen, my ride or die, always with me.
Always
thank you so
time.
Much for coming.
No problem.
Yes, indeed.
This was definitely an interesting show.
This was a good one. Thank you all so much for listening, as always. And, of course, Congresswoman Frederica Wilson, thank you so much for your gracious call tonight. And we will talk to you. I'll talk to you on Monday, but we'll be right back here again Sunday night, as always, right here on Hot Talk. Love you, mean it. I am Jill Tracy, and this is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
And I gotta get home to my son, 'cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him, I need to breathe him. That's my baby, don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed, yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed, yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed, yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. My son, father doing is absolute. I'm so blessed, blessed, blessed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know what I know. And I know what I know. Trouble gon' happen, it's just the way it be. Ain't nothing coming easily in this life. Sometimes you gotta work and you gotta grow and it gotta hurt. I'm sure you know, take a look around. Woke up this morning listening to this song, you're so blessed. Yes, yes, gonna rock the show on all day long. You're so blessed, yes. Hands up in the air, waving like we just don't care. We're so blessed, yeah, yeah, up in the morning feeling fresh to death. When the sleep stress woke up refreshed. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. I'm so blessed, yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live, always local, always entertaining and educating South Florida. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
For those who like it hot, Western Union and Publix have a hot deal for you. From now until November 13th, send a qualifying Western Union money transfer to select Caribbean countries from any participating South Florida Publix. Keep your specially marked Western Union receipt and present it at the 2016 Grace Jamaican Jerk Festival on November 13th to get $10 off Jerk Festival tickets, up to 4 tickets. See store for details. This is living it up in style. Available at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. This is Western Union, moving money for better. NMLS 906983.
Hi, this is Lenny Williams, and you're listening to WHQT, Coral Gables, Miami's Hot 105.
A Cox Media Group station.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
Hi, I'm a smoker, and I'm aware that that's bad. I'm aware that my family hates it, and that it costs me over $2,700 a year. I'm aware of all the reasons I shouldn't do it, but none of that changes the fact that it's really hard to quit.
At Tobacco Free Florida, we're here to help you quit your way with free services like Phone Quit, Group Quit, and Web Quit. Visit TobaccoFreeFlorida.com or call 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW. Quit your way with Tobacco Free Florida.
50 minutes of today's R&D and old school. Right here on Hot 105. Hot 105.
What up? What up? Say what, say what, say what?
What's up? Oh, baby, baby, yeah.
tell me what's up. Can we ascend to higher heights and when the path gets rough? We can give them the brighter nights, breathe with peace. Found by leaps and soul to reach my soul to keep the passion deep and filled with heat. Living the cycle and the hustle, I barely get enough time. You know me from the platinum, how I stack them and shine. We see a lot of contenders, they try to end up in my world. A reputation known as the untouchable girl. I'm moving on and now I'm trying to make a change in my ways. Be the best that I can be to last me all of my days. Now we can play pathways or just take our time. Better holler if you hear me, cause left eye gon' shine. My eyes don't lie, see how they glisten when you pass me by. You and I don't need permission to be unified. Surely I've been seen and heard of many places. Then I traveled around the world, see many faces. Don't let another one get near me if you wanna be true. And show me that nobody else can do it better than you. So if you're serious, I'm curious.